I'm going to call the meeting back to order out of the recess. We are down to item B.
No, we're down to item A.
We just did that.
Public comment?
Consent agenda.
No.
You're looking at the old one. Sorry about that.
Regular council meeting, public comment. Speaking on items that are not on the current agenda, except for anything that might be in the consent agenda, you may speak to. Is there anyone? I do have two people on the public sign-up sheet, and I will take those in order and then invite anyone else that would like to speak. So, first, Kirby Crisp.
All right. I ain't very good at this stuff, so I wrote it down. Okay, my name is Kirby Crisp. I own the coffee shop across the street from the proposed processing plant.
If you're going to speak on an item that's on the agenda, you need to wait until that item.
Yeah, it's not. It isn't. I'm just telling you the location.
Okay. I'm sorry.
And it is also in the gateway zoning. And I don't have a problem with Dick Bedlington's proposed property use. I think it's a good idea. But last week I went in to inquire about putting a small RV park behind my coffee shop, and it's a little over a half acre piece of property. And I was told the main purpose of the zoning is to serve the traveling public. And I was also told that the gateway zoning doesn't include this in their uses. I have several customers that come down from Canada that stay in the RV park behind me and the one down the road, and they shop in Bellingham on the weekends and then just stay in their RV. The property behind me is an RV park that operates in full capacity, and Cedar's RV park is full during the summer months. During the BP turnaround, workers would have to go all the way down to Anacortes because the RV parks were full in Ferndale, and then Burlington, too. Because of the close location to the exit and the need for more spaces and the small size of my property, I think it would be an ideal use, and it would be beautifully landscaped and maintained like my coffee shop has been for 14 years. Doing business on Port Away, and many more years to come. I would like to ask the council to consider adding this use to the gateway zoning, and or maybe it was overlooked, and then perhaps Yuri could explain this better than me.
Mr. Burnett?
I spoke with Mr. Crisp last week about this. Essentially, the question would be, would the council and by extension planning commission anticipate that RV parks, such as what Mr. Crisp is describing, would that be one of the assumed uses that would be in the gateway zone? Because right now it is not. It is a use in the general business zone. And the way that staff looks at such things is if there's a use specifically described in one place, the city has thought of it, and if it's not described in another zone, the city has decided not to allow that. If that is incorrect, then the council could suggest to staff that staff and the planning commission relook at it and possibly consider adding RV parks to the gateway zone.
I think Lloyd is first, then Kevin.
I would support that, especially because it's contiguous with the mobile parks that's behind there, and it used to be highway commercial. And we kind of move things around, think that was going to be big retail and dollars, but still it's about, you know, highest and best use of the property. And if nothing else, it could be temporary. Like you said, it's well-maintained. It could look good.
The other alternative is, as a citizen, Mr. Crisp definitely has the opportunity to apply for a zoning text amendment himself and pay for it. The question would be, does the city council want to pay for that zoning text amendment because they feel it was an oversight that possibly city should look at, or should Mr. Crisp be the applicant paying for it and proposing the change?
I guess I'm looking at it. It says you can have hotels or motels with stays less than 15 days, or conditional is hotels or motels with stays greater than. So So is it just a matter of semantics, whether you have a hotel or an RV park?
Mm-hmm. An RV park is specifically listed elsewhere, and so we need to assume that because it is listed separately, that there are differences that the council wish to have addressed separately. Okay. If that's not the case, then certainly through the process you can identify that. But at this point, staff has to read what is written.
I'm curious from a public works standpoint. Would it be a sewage issue of, you know, having an RV park would be completely different than a hotel?
Yeah, and that's something we'd have to look into, but we start the zoning.
Okay.
Janice, you might pull your microphone up a little closer than that.
Well, I tend to agree. I don't see the distinct line between a motel and a RV park. They're basically one and the same in my mind because they're serving the traveling public.
Mm-hmm.
And if Gateway Commercial was established to serve the traveling public, we travel a lot, my wife and I, and we go into a lot of areas where the first things you see when you come off the freeway exits are small to medium-sized RV parks, the KOA type places where you can pull in and set up for the night and be gone the next morning. They're pretty common, and I don't know that would not be a good use for that piece of property.
Okay. What type of time limits are we having on the stays in there? Because those other RV parks are not temporary. There are people that actually stay there for years and years and years. So are we talking about expanding another...
Can you ask?
Craig Road type thing, or we, which of course is a bit different condition, but what he was trying to say, I think, was temporary. Yeah. Or weren't there?
Yeah. Kirby, go ahead.
Were you saying there was going to be a time limit on it? Because the other parts are there all the time.
Yes, there is. And it's my understanding, I've never studied this, but the one behind me does have permanent ones, and then a percentage of it is the overnights. But the one down at Cedars, now again, I don't know this, they only have so many of the permanent ones, and then it's the overnight, especially in the summer months. So that would, I never...
What were you proposing?
The overnight. Staying overnight, or like some of the Canadians, they come down, they leave them there year round, and then they come down periodically, and they don't live in them all the time, or they come down for whatever. So that's I guess I didn't put enough thought into that, but mostly the overnight or the weekly or whatever.
Sure.
Staff would recommend that because there are these questions about what council would be comfortable with and what they wouldn't, that it be incorporated into a zoning text amendment rather than something that says this is a use similar in nature and effect. We think that it should go through the process and that it should really be determined who should pay for that process.
How much is it?
And then are there different types of RV? Is it the places where people stay permanently, which I would not be supportive of in a gateway zone, as opposed to the one day, one week, kind of feeling like a hotel sort of state. That would make more sense to me.
Can you control it via
zoning? We could certainly control it via zoning. The cost to the applicant is approximately $2,000. Yeah, $2,000.
That covers everything?
Mm-hmm. I would want to caution council in all these things, with due respect to Mr. Crisp. Good ideas can be provided, but is it in the council's and the city's interest to take what you believe to be a good idea and then to pay for that good idea that the private citizen has, basically spending the citizens' tax dollars on that? Or is it more appropriate for that person who might stand to benefit from the decision pay for that yourself, themselves?
Brent?
If we're looking at it as a overnight type stay, and this is where staff, and I think we need to come up with, to say, is there a difference between parking my, is there a legal time frame that says so many days makes it temporary, beyond that is considered permanent type of a thing? If we're looking at a temporary, you know, overnight stay type of a facility, then I don't see any difference between that and a motel that would be built on the same property. And I don't see how you could differentiate the two. You're renting a space to sleep. Whether it's inside a building or inside an RV, you're still renting a place to sleep with amenities of water and sewer. So I can see that you can say that there's a similar use there. But if you're looking at something more of a long-term stay, I think we'd have that same discussion if a hotel chain wanted to build one of their long-term stay places where you can, you know, rent the space for 2 months, 3 months. You know, I don't remember what they call them, like Marriott or something.
Yeah, extended stay.
You know, type thing. Would an extended stay hotel be allowed in that zone? So I think we need to get some clarification on those aspects before we could really proceed or give any direction on which way to go.
A couple of observations. One is you might want to use 30 days as kind of a guideline, only because to take the Scottish Lodge, they have individuals who stay there longer than 30 days. For those individuals, they don't pay hotel motel taxes because they're staying more than 30 days. Hotel motel taxes are just on 30 days or less. So we might want to use that 30-day threshold to determine whether something is really a transient lodging, which is the technical term, or more a long-term permanent housing. The other thing is, as far as addressing the issue as to who would initiate, who would pay for this zone change, since it was brought forward by a one particular citizen who does stand to benefit from it, it probably would be good policy if you had the applicant bring it forward. As noble or as good as the idea may be, if we start getting into the situation of when people bring things up, we change it for them, that kind of sets a precedent. I do realize that it is a costly process, but it is a process that is, in this case, initiated for the benefit of an individual rather than someone on the council bringing up generically, gee, I wonder why we don't allow this use in this zone.
I'd load up next.
I was just make the statement that this may be a temporary situation. It may be, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and it may be bought out by a Marriott, and its whole thing may change. So that's the way I would see it, a variation of what we're talking about here.
Copy.
I would like to see the applicant pay for it. I do think it's a good idea, but someone's got to pay for staff time because someone will have to take a look and see whether we can make this happen because it is slightly different than a hotel-motel, sanitation-wise and that sort of thing. So I would like to see it happen. I just don't think that the city should have to pay for the staff time just as a policy.
Kirby, I saw you come up. You must have a comment.
Yeah, so let's just say I pay for it and I'm not quite understanding. Will this change include it in the gateway zoning then?
Potentially.
Yeah. Potential. So then would it benefit all the gateway? So would I change it for all the potential users behind me?
You very well might.
Is there any way of, yeah.
You can ask
a late comers agreement.
Not that I'm aware of, no. Okay. I guess those before you that have, you know, paved the way, I guess, just do that.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
And I know what you mean.
Right. I was just asking that question. Because for me, it just seemed like a natural fit when it said it was for the traveling public. And I instantly thought, well, this is definitely a good fit, but then found out it wasn't. So what is the task for doing that? Is it the time? Obviously it's not just adding a line or in the zoning. There's something else to it.
We would need to research both the council's questions and planning commission's questions, address those. There need to be the public hearing notifications. What you would be required to do is you could certainly come in and talk to staff, and we can go through the elements that you would need to provide to us in the application materials.
Okay.
And then you would, what we're recommending definitely with rezones or text amendments is participate all through the process and let the decision makers know why you want it the way it is and why you don't feel that the zone is accomplishing what you want it to do.
Well, and just said, and I think on this side of the free, on that side of the freeway, with the existing buildings, and it's a little different than, you know, the vacant land on the other side of the freeway. That's probably why you're going through what's on the agenda tonight. And I can just see it's kind of a interesting little area there. So, but I don't have a problem with it. If that's part of doing business, then that's what it is. What I would do is I would probably sit down and do a feasibility study with and ask about the sewer hookups and everything else, and then say, okay, is it worth my time to okay.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Yeah. I just had a question for Mr. Crisp. Have you kind of put it out on a napkin and a half acre? I mean, how many units?
You know, it depends because the property has a 6-inch sewer line on it. It'll definitely, there's a breaking point there because whatever that will allow would be what I would want to do. Otherwise, I know it's going to cost around $30,000 to go across the street and to go into the main line.
I mean, a half acre, you said. Did you say a half acre?
Okay. It's about a half acre.
I mean, there's only so many RVs you can park on a half acre.
You bet. And that's the problem is once you start going bigger, then you got to get more utilities and more everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how they calculate that out, there's the sewer hookup fees, the water hookup fees, the actual pipe that comes from underground and on the property, the water hookup. And when you start doing a feasibility study, it gets pretty expensive pretty quick.
Thank you.
The last thing that I would add is, as we're working with Mr. Crisp, probably prior to application, is we need to see if there are any other ordinances that stand in the way of it. For instance, a minimum lot size for RV parks, something of that nature that we might not have even discussed yet, to make sure that if this zoning text amendment were to be approved, that he could go ahead and apply instead of having another obstacle in his way. So that would happen prior to application.
Okay. Thank you, Kirby.
Yeah.
I have another name on the list, Dick Mills. Is Dick Mills here? Okay, then is there anyone else that would like to address the council? Items that are not currently on the agenda. Yeah.
Good evening. I'm Yvonne Goldsmith, and I live at 5840 Church Road. And I just want to compliment the staff that we worked with in negotiating on the frontage of our property and the side on Crestline. When we started, it was like, I don't know if this is going to go. And I'm going to tell you, is it Janet? No.
Janice.
Is that the?
Katie.
She's hiding the Katie Red. Katie. Katie. Serious. She was wonderful to work with. And you all need to know that. She is a great example of just how wonderful our employees here are in Ferndale, and always a pleasure to work with, and I just wanted to pass it on.
We keep her chained to the desk at night so nobody can steal her.
Yeah. Okay, any other comments? Seeing none, we're going to move on to the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt the consent agenda. Any questions? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye unanimous. Which does bring us down to item D, the public hearing on the Portalway property rezone request. Usually I have a cheat sheet here. Speaking.
It should be on the back.
It should be on the back here.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Public hearing on the
public hearings, and this is a formality that we need to go through to ensure that everyone is on the same page regarding public hearings.
Would you like to read that before the staff presentation or after?
After.
Good evening, Council, members of Public and Planning Commission. As has been alluded to a couple of times tonight, you are scheduled to hear a rezone request after a public hearing tonight for a rezone of just under 3 acres, changing it from the Gateway Development District to the General Business District. This application has gone through the Planning Commission, and for reasons that I will explain, but possibly the Planning Commission will be able to provide more detail on, the Planning Commission recommend denial of the proposal. The property is just south of the Ferry Brothers' large former slaughterhouse building, the big white building, white and green building. These are the loafing sheds, if you will, that are directly to the south of it. Until 6-7 years ago, these properties were in the same ownership. They were part of the same business that had formerly occupied the site. However, due to various reasons, the properties have been split from one another, and they are now in separate ownership, to the best of my understanding. The properties had been zoned highway commercial for approximately 30 years. As you may recall, the highway commercial zone was intended to serve the traveling public. It was created 5 or 6 years after the freeway went through Ferndale, and at that time, it would appear that the expectations of how the freeway would act was that any property that was visible from the freeway would benefit directly from the freeway and from the traveling public. It turns out that such was not the case, where it was primarily those businesses that were within close proximity to the freeway exits benefited. That's why you see commercial development, industrial development locating itself at those freeway exits all up and down the I-5 corridor and other interstate systems. That's one of the reasons why when the City Council and staff and the Planning Commission went through in 2008-2009 to reassess the various commercial zones in the city, most of which were about 30 years old, that it was recommended and then approved that this property would change from the highway commercial zone to the gateway development zone, while the slaughterhouse property would change to highway commercial, from highway commercial to general business. That's an important discussion point. We have a piece of property that was formerly one property that is now segmented into two properties, where in 2009 the city determined, based in part on the recent investment of the slaughterhouse by a Canadian company and a conditional use permit for a industrial processing plant in that property, in that building, that the two properties were going in separate directions. We had one property, the northern one, that appeared that it was going to continue as industrial processing and, in fact, had a new owner. We had the properties to the south that appeared that were for sale and appeared to be distressed to the city at that time. As the applicants will tell you, they were not aware of the rezoning that occurred, and they did not participate in the discussions of public hearings. In other words, they were not able to state their opinion as far as whether or not this zone should move forward or not. As I'll tell you, they probably would have voiced their opposition to the proposal. What I would like to leave in your heads before I turn it over to those that would comment, the applicant and others, is the City Council should remember that you need to balance the long-term growth of the city and the long-term zoning of the city with the short-term possible benefits of a new business coming into this location. You also have to ask yourselves, if this applicant had been present back in 2008 or 2009 and stated their opposition, would it have changed your vote if you were on council at that time? There are a lot of different ingredients to this, but I think that's really one of the essential questions is, by anything that you hear tonight or read in the staff report, would that change the decision that was made in 2008-2009? And what is best for the city, not necessarily best for the property owner? It might be that they're one and the same. It might be that what's best for the property owner in this case is best for the city. That's a decision that council has to arrive at. It's really, for the most part, a non-technical decision. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm sure that Mr. Morrison would as well.
Okay, I saw Keith first, then Brent.
We've talked before about the notification, but correct me if I'm memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, pull your microphone.
Correct me if I'm not. We put those yellow signs and notice of zoning actions in front of the buildings, correct?
We do now.
We didn't back then?
We did not back then.
Okay. That's what I needed. Thanks.
Brent?
My question is in regard to the gateway zone itself. I remember on Planning Commission what the original intent was, and was for small businesses, 7-Eleven type things or whatever. Came to council changed that and things. It doesn't seem to me that the original intent of the gateway zone and where we're headed is really, is it a viable zone to even keep? It seems like it's causing more problems than it really, what the original intent was that when it left the Planning Commission. Is it something that we should even think about doing away with as an aspect? Because it seems like we're constantly changing things or modifying that zone. We don't seem to have that with other zones in the city.
You're certainly being asked to reconsider it, and I think that is an important distinction where, first to answer your question, if you collectively feel that this rezone request should be approved, you can move forward with that. If you collectively, come January 2013, believe that we should reassess the gateway zone, you can put it on the docket. But this action tonight will not be an approval or denial of the gateway zone. The second part of your question or your statement is, again, the long-term versus short-term, where certainly with zoning, I don't think there's any expectation that zones will magically sprout the uses that are contained within them overnight. It might be that the needs to have 20 years or so for the market to catch up to it, and that at some point the city needs to reserve areas for these types of uses so that when the market does catch up to it, they're ready for that market. That's a long-range planning call that really council gets to make that judgment.
But if we're making change, you know, if we said, okay, that's the goal, the 20-year goal, but we're getting, well, if we have to make changes here, we got to make changes there, we're going to do this and that, then was that our 20-year goal really realistic when we set up this zone, you know, several years ago?
Well, that's certainly fair. It's not on the topic tonight, but it might be something that you keep in your mind if you find that you go that way. Again, keep in mind what you know. If you knew today what you knew back then, what would your vote be? And I think that goes for the Planning Commission as well.
Got
Where else in the city do we have the gateway development zoning, and has it worked to actually create development there?
The only other location is at I-5 and Main Street. Pilot is an example of a business that has gone into that zone. I don't know if there's been another business that has gone into that zone. You know, it speaks a little bit to the economy that there haven't been a lot of businesses going into any zones. I don't know whether that means anything more than what I just said or not.
And I know you don't want to. I don't want to open the can of worms whether we're going to have a gateway development zone or not. But for me personally, I need to think about whether this zone has worked, along with thinking about this rezone. Because for me, that is part of the decision-making process for me. And I realize that maybe it shouldn't be or not, but that is for me. Whether this, because we're basically asking not be gateway development anymore in this parcel. So I need to ask myself, does gateway development work? If it works, should we keep it? I'm just going through those questions in my head. I don't know if I can just go back and pretend that I was here 2 years ago.
Is it a question of the gateway zone working or not, or that the general business zone happens to be quite popular, which might be another thing. We've seen a lot of activity in the general business zone, which is fairly permissive. I don't know. I can't say that one zone, that the gateway zone has been more or less successful, because there wasn't necessarily an expectation that there would be additional gas, food, lodging within this 3-year period.
John?
Yeah. First of all, I want the record to show that I know the applicant, Ms. Kent. I haven't seen her for a number of years, first time tonight, but I do know her a little bit. Having said that, I saw this come to the Land Use Committee first and then to Planning Commission. I had read through this stuff before I knew who the applicant was and had begun thinking about this a little bit. But having said that, I am confident I can make a decision on behalf of the citizens of Ferndale fairly and well. Yori, my question is about similar to what Keith was asking a little bit earlier. Should she have known that this rezoning was going to take place? This is a big citywide, everything was rezoned, and I wasn't on council back then. Today we do big yellow signs for certain things, but this would not have had a notification. This is sort of a general city sweep of rezoning of all properties. And should a landowner have known this was going to happen to them? And if so, how? Is this negligence on their part as a property owner not catching this in any way?
The city met all of the procedural requirements for notification back then, which included posting at the Ferndale Public Library, posting at City Hall, publication in the newspaper of record. Does that reach every property owner? Does that put a burden on a responsibility on the property owner to check the newspaper of record? Yes, it does. The council has directed staff over the last couple of years to acknowledge that not everyone has direct access and not everyone reads the newspaper of record all of the time. So we've increased our outreach with the yellow signs and the Facebook pages, Twitter accounts, so on and so forth. Will it reach everyone? No, it won't. Would the costs to the city of informing by direct mail a citizen of every decision that could potentially affect them, that Planning Commission and Council makes, that's a policy decision, but it would probably come with it pretty significant costs.
And so they didn't receive a personal letter? Like
correct.
Property owners within 300 feet of a specific event will get a letter. This is not that kind of deal.
They were not informed of it in that manner when the zoning went through.
So they didn't get the paper of record, which is the Ferndale record, or go to the library, or what was the third thing you mentioned? City Hall. It might be difficult. So then I just wanted to check the history on this. This was originally one larger piece of property, which is the slaughterhouse, Ferry Brothers, and it was zoned highway commercial since time began. And then the city made the decision to rezone large parts of the city and changed it to this part of it to gateway development, which is things like hotels and gas stations and that kind of stuff, but made the decision to make that the northern boundary of that rezoning. And then anything north of this piece of property is general business, which is a very flexible zoning, would I be fair to say similar to highway commercial, kind of flexible in what can be done there.
Yes, the intent of highway commercial to serve motorists is reflected in gateway. The actual uses in highway commercial are generally more in general business.
Okay. That's all I needed.
Thank you. And I believe that the property owner will be able to provide you a little bit more history, something that I did not have at the Planning Commission.
Council members.
Thank you, Mel. I would support this rezone for
you need to have the public hearing before you. This is just questions for staff.
Oh, okay. Would this support the overall community outside the bounds of the way of, if you look at the overall economy, you got your agricultural base, you've got your possibly food processing base, you got opportunities for exports, and then I don't know if there's anything, but just the number of jobs like this, would you see this be supportive in all those areas?
as you know, we cannot anticipate that any specific uses will come in. Certainly, the uses that might be discussed, which are agricultural and would provide jobs, jobs are always an advantage to the city. Are there other locations where this could be within the city? That would be something that would be interesting to hear from the applicants.
Well, it seems like with the infrastructure that's in place with sewage and a lot of other things, and it's traditional, historical, going back to probably, I don't know, 80 years or so, that would be supportive of this type of industry. Thank you, sir.
Are we ready for the public hearing?
Yes.
All right. Now's when I get to read the stuff that goes with it. Public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in their decision-making process. If you intend to speak, it is necessary that you sign up on the sign-up sheet, and it has been available and is now up here with me. However, we are going to, at the end of the people that have signed up, we'll call on you for further comments. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Proceed to the speaker's rostrum and clearly state your name and address. If you are speaking as a representative for another person or organization, please so state. State whether you are an opponent, proponent, or neither. Limit your comments to 3 minutes. After all comments are heard, if you have something to add that has not already been stated, at the discretion of the mayor, you may be given an additional 2 minutes. There will be no demonstration during or at the conclusion of anyone's presentation. During the public testimony period of the public hearing, the council staff and audience will remain silent. After your presentation, council members may ask you questions. After the last person has spoken, the hearing will be closed and the council will enter into regular session. The subject of the hearing will usually appear as an agenda item for council discussion, decision, or referral. The audience may not comment during the council's deliberations unless questioned by the council for clarification. These rules are intended to promote an orderly system of holding a public hearing to give every person an opportunity to be heard and to ensure that no individuals are embarrassed by exercising their right to free speech. And with that, the first person I have on the list is Mr. Bruce Boyle. I need you to come to the rostrum, please.
Hi, Bruce Boyle, 108 Prospect Street, Bellingham, proponent, and I would like to go later, if that's possible.
Can you switch positions? Can you go later? Can you talk less?
I don't understand what difference it makes.
All right.
You were the first one to sign up, and we generally take them in order.
Okay. I've got the bull by the horns then. Now, just so you know which side my bread is buttered on, I am a real estate agent that has the property, subject property listed, so I certainly have a vested interest in it. However, I am a commercial real estate agent, and there are some things that may not have been taken into account besides the history, which the applicant's going to tell you about. Knowing from commercial real estate is that is wrong with the gateway to development zoning is it didn't take some factors that the market considers into it. One, of course, is buildings on the property. Of the buildings that are not in use, or rather of the property zoned gateway development that are not in use, how many others have buildings? Now, the assessor's office, just for a third-party opinion, lists one-third of the value in the buildings. That's significant. The point where the land itself becomes worth more than the buildings in the land is quite a ways away, certainly not on the horizon. I have talked to several of the large hotel chains, and they're not interested. For one, it's too small. They all want at least four and preferably 5 or 6 acres. For another, you've got the slaughterhouse plant right there. And now that that's being in the process of being sold to a firm to process berries, it's probably not going to go waste anytime soon. They've ordered $2 million worth of refrigeration equipment. So making that kind of investment, they're probably not going to be gone next year. But two factors that may not have been considered in the gateway zoning. And my understanding is it was an attempt to contain that kind of traveling public gas stations and mini marts into an area around the interchanges. But two factors, besides the buildings, the other factor is the depth of the property to the frontage. In commercial real estate, and this is broad nationwide, in commercial real estate, the front quarter of the property is considered to have half the value. The back quarter, one-tenth. So if you do not consider the depth of the property in the zoning, it's an error. I mean, it's not an error. I mean, you can zone things any way you want, but it's not. It's trying to dictate something to the market that the market isn't going to respond to.
That was
the timer?
Time,
I'm done.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Peggy Kent.
And I believe that Ms. Kent has a presentation. And so, sorry, Council Member Ingram.
Thank you. And if I could possibly ask for a little more than 3 minutes, I do have a short presentation.
We can grant you up to five.
Okay.
So.
Anyway, my name is Peggy Kent. I live at 9150 Airy Lane in Blaine. I have always lived in Blaine since I moved up here. I'm sorry, I don't read the Ferndale newspaper, and I, other than going to Hagen's, I don't come to Ferndale very often. I don't frequent the Ferndale Library, and I was completely oblivious to the fact that this situation was ongoing until we actually had someone very interested in the property. And they went down to City Hall and found out it had been rezoned, and that was the first I found out. Anyway, the project location, as you know, is, in order to save time, is north of the city, exit 263 on the west side of Portal Way, and it's north of a vacant former gas station site where the gas station was torn down, and it's south of the main meatpacking plant. If we look at the property here, a lot of what Bruce was saying was the frontage is very narrow in comparison to the size of the property. It's a little less than 3 acres, but we have very little frontage here. And we share a common accessway here. We have three large structures and three small structures on the property. If we take a look at the front of the property at this point, the half that is from the power pole over is our half, and the other is the old meatpacking, but we have joint access to the property, so there's an easement for access. We take a look at the situation. Of course, here's the Portal Way. Here's my property here. Here's the Neova property. There's a truck fueling station. There's a coffee shop, an office building, a gas station, and a used car dealership here. And to give you a little bit of the background, it was zoned highway commercial in 2009. The property has been there for forever and a day, as everybody has said. It was used as part of the meat plant, which operated under the terms of a continuing variance. We complied with all the conditions set forth in the variance, and the plant was shut down in 2003 because of the mad cow situation. We had two incidences of mad cow, which forced us to shut down. I was then holding over $4 million of real estate. Couldn't do anything with the real estate, had lenders, and it was a USDA loan, and I had to file Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2005. Under the terms of the bankruptcy, I was required to subdivide the original property into four smaller parcels to expedite the sale. And all the parcels were listed for sale, and three of the four parcels have sold to date. And then the city of Ferndale rezoned my property to Gateway Development without my knowledge. If we take a look at what it was all highway commercial, this whole piece. Then the zoning, then I subdivided the property into these three parcels on this side of the road, this one with the frontage and the other one. And even this one with the frontage, which was anticipated to be a strip mall, has remained general business while you've turned my property into basically the gateway zoning. Here's the property, the two properties. There's no fence, no separation. You can see the property line right here. The sewer comes in onto the big building and flows over into my property, and I have a pump station on my property, and then the water comes in and the water comes into the big building over here, and my water gets pulled off of the big building. There is no lot line, and you can see basically it's a contiguous property. Somebody used the word contiguous tonight, and that's exactly what this is. This property is going to be a berry processing facility. And, I mean, even if we could find a hotel that would be willing to come in, can you see a hotel sitting here next to a berry processing facility with big semi-trucks coming in and out of this facility day and night? The subject property is a natural extension of the current general business zone. A purchase by a prospective buyer is severely impeded by the restrictive permitted uses under the current gateway development zoning. And a zone change approval will expedite the sale and subsequent development of the property and will overall enhance the situation on the corner there. If we take a look at the fact that the contiguous property is now general business, it's not like we're taking a piece of gateway commercial out of a big section and taking a hole out of the middle and turning that into general business. So it is a natural extension of the existing general business. That, including the shared driveway between the two properties, the shared utilities between the two properties, means that it really should remain, it should be converted back to general business. Substantial improvements on the property predate the gateway development. The building on the property, the big building on the property, was over $500,000 to construct. It's like new. There's limited access to the property. And as Bruce said, the size is not large enough for a hotel. It's just under 3 acres. If we take a look, the other thing on the property that I didn't mention is we have a big stormwater runoff area on the property that services both properties. So with that stormwater runoff area, I mean, putting restaurants or hotels or anything sitting there is just absolutely impossible. And that's on the west side of the property along the freeway access ramp. It didn't consider the existing buildings on the property, and if I had to tear, I'd have to tear down the buildings, which it costs in excess of $100,000 to tear down the existing large building and remove the slabs and footings. And you can see the extensive slabs and footings on the main building.
I'm going to call time and ask the council if they would like to have three more minutes. Can we wrap it up in 3 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Go ahead. So the advantages to rezone to general business is right now there's an exciting development opportunity for the Portalway property conditional upon rezoning to general business. And this development opportunity would revitalize the property and bring significant benefits to the city of Ferndale. The property is currently under a purchase and sale contract with Dick Bellington Farms for a planned seed potato distribution operation, potential of up to 100 jobs, consistent with the use of the adjacent property, which is a pending sale for the berry packing operation, and this is contingent upon rezoning to general business. So the property is not of character for gateway development, and it will not support the permitted uses. The adjacent property, the contiguous property, is zoned general business and affects this property. Substantial improvements on the Talis property are inconsistent with gateway development and predate gateway development zoning, and the property is developable, usable for commercial and processing, and a current opportunity for such use exists and would add to Ferndale's economy. And I think just to round it out, the property is not completely different from that of the surrounding land. It is consistent with that of the surrounding land, and it is not just of benefit to my particular interest only. The property is right now under a purchase and sale contract to bring a business in here that will create 100 jobs for the city of Ferndale, and that whole area will become a more agricultural processing area, and that, I believe, is of benefit to the community as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, yes. Ma'am? Ma'am, council members would like to ask questions.
Oh, sure.
I'll let council member Watson go first.
I'm just curious, when the company filed for bankruptcy, why did you break up the land that way? Because it is contiguous. I'm just curious why you chose to break it up into those particular parcels.
The lenders were, it was a USDA and an SBA guaranteed loan with Zions National Bank out of Utah. And the property, first of all, when the mad cow hit in 2003, I put the whole property back up for sale. We sold out all the meatpacking equipment. We sold all the refrigerant. The big building there, this could never become anything meatpacking again because we sold all the equipment out. Mm-hmm. Then we put it up for sale for a price as a property altogether. It did not sell. The real estate agents came back and told the trustee in bankruptcy that it would sell faster if I could split it up into smaller pieces. So I volunteered to split it up into smaller pieces. Otherwise, they would have gone to court in Seattle and forced me to split it up into smaller pieces. When we took that to the Planning Commission at the time, that's just kind of how the pieces fell out. They figured the big building would sell. Then that strip in front of the big building was maybe for 7-Elevens and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and a dry cleaner and stuff. And then the barns were going to be used for some sort of agricultural purpose. And then the fourth piece was across the I-5 freeway. And it sold first to Sampson Wire and Rope, I think it was.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You said you weren't notified, which we've all heard you weren't. But you were notified about the Planning Commission hearing, correct?
In March. The March planning.
Well, because when I found out it was Gateway, and after I saw, and Bruce and I, we couldn't sell the property, I made application because I was now in the application process.
Let me rephrase it. The Planning Commission, you were notified that they were going to have a hearing on it? It recently. When was the hearing that you guys had?
In March.
Okay. That hearing. Were you notified of that hearing?
Well, yes, because I had already made applications, so they had my address, and they have to notify me.
Did you go?
Did I go? No, I did not go. I sent a representative to the Planning Commission meeting because when I saw the recommendation from staff, and I was out of the country. I wasn't in the country on those. I wasn't on the mainland USA in those days. I saw the recommendation from staff, and my agent spoke to staff, and it sounded like it was just going to be a normal rezone. I didn't come.
What are we all up here for? They don't make the rules. We do.
I understand that. And I'm very sorry that I didn't come. I didn't understand the process well enough, I guess.
Well, it just seems like we're going back after the fact and wasting a lot of time with what could have probably been settled with the Planning Commission had you shown up.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point I'm trying to make.
Well, I'm very sorry I'm taking your time.
Okay. And this 100 jobs, where is the – he's okay.
He's going to be speaking. He's going to be speaking, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Oh, yes, Mr. Mushroom.
I just wanted to hear – to understand something. So staff, as I recall, and it just came to me now, recommended approval of this rezone to
That's
Planning
correct.
Commission.
That's correct. And I had reviewed the staff report before the Planning Commission meeting, and I saw that, yes.
So you didn't, because of that recommendation, you're saying you didn't feel a need to make a trip from wherever you were.
That's correct. Okay, it was going to cost me several thousand dollars to make that trip.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have Richard. I'm having a little bit of problem with the last name. M-O-S, is it I-K-E? Or?
It's M-E-S-C-H-K-E, and pronounced Meshke.
Meshke, all right.
And
Richard.
My address is 9150 Airy Lane, and I will thank you for giving Ms. Kent the extended time to make the presentation. I think this is a very important rezone for the city of Ferndale and for the surrounding community. As I've looked at the property and I did some of the research that went into Ms. Kent's presentation, I found that the character of the property that in question is very much consistent with the big white building meatpacking plant property. Indeed, it was part of the same property. And I think that building even predates the highway commercial zoning, if I'm not mistaken. I think the structure of the buildings on the property, the fact that it would involve serious expense to tear down the improvements on the property to qualify for any kind of gateway use, I think is mandates that that a productive use under the general business zoning is much more appropriate. And I'll just leave the comments at that point.
Any questions? Thank you. And the final person on the list so far is Dick Bedlington.
I'm Dick Bedlington, 6937 Holman Avenue, Blaine, Washington. I've been a farmer all my life in Linden and Whatcom County. We pack potatoes in Linden. Our facilities for our shipping and handling is in right next to the North Washington Implement in Linden. Our company has grown. If you ever told me we were a farmer with 3,000 acres of potato of crops, I don't think I would ever believed it. But anyway, my kids are in it. So what we'd like to do is take the facilities that's there, convert it to storage and packing facilities for our product. Our product is sea potatoes, which are just like potatoes you see in the store. We receive them, we bring them in with our trucks, and package them, or actually they go out bulk. We run them through our lines, put them in holding tanks, and then put them in the semis and ship them out. The location is very good for us. The buildings we can utilize, we employ 50 to 100 people. So that's basically where we're at, depending on the season. I don't know what else to tell you. I've been in Linden for 64 years with my father and myself, and now my kids are taking the business, so I'm not coming here to go away. We already have a facilities on Newkirk Road, so we're here, and we're farming about 600 acres of potatoes in Ferndale, so that's one of the reasons we would like to just have our part of our company here. I don't think we'd shut down the Linden company, the Linden part of our packing. Probably have another satellite station. So,
Council Member Olson.
Sir, how many, would those be all, you say now it's down to 50 to 100 positions. Would those be new or transferees?
It would probably be coming from Linden to here. And, you know, our company's growing, so some of it would be new.
Other questions, Mr. Bedlington?
Now, are these seed potatoes?
Yes.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure. Because
yeah, we're not used, fresh packing.
No, I used to grow. We used to grow chippers. So. Yeah. So okay. So just wanted to make sure what they were.
Rory?
Staff does need to remind council that while there is no doubt that Mr. Bedlington is intending to do what he proposes. Keep in mind that this is a rezone request and that there is always the chance that things in a land use decision and a purchase and sale agreement could change. So remember that when rezoning, if you decide to go in that direction, it is not a guarantee that a specific use will come, even if everyone believes that it will. The proposal, even if it is rezoned, would need to go through review. So doing one thing does not necessarily equal the other.
But it'll be resold 5 years from now.
Exactly.
Is this a question for Mr. Bedlington or Gore? Okay.
In light of that, Director Burnett, which is a very good point that I'm glad you brought up, because clearly a sincere person, but it could be what could it be that would possibly be not in, this, in the city's best interest if it was rezoned general business? What types of range of things, just maybe for the audience and us to look at, that we might find odious near the gateway or in the gateway area?
Would a decision that the city council makes tonight remove the possibility of other land uses in the future because this piece of property is no longer in the inventory in the gateway zone would, I think, be the most substantial issue that council would need to consider. And for example, and you asked me to play devil's advocate, so I will. For example, in the long-term horizon, the city has identified, long-term horizon, the extension of Thornton not only to Second, but all the way over to Portal. Who knows how long that will be. If that, in fact, is established, then an argument could be made that more people who live up on Church right now and are taking a left going west would actually, from the Portal exit, would actually go east to connect. How far do you want to go down the limb of possibility, though? And that's something for council to decide, to determine for themselves whether you feel that the proposal is inconsistent with the long-range vision of the city of Ferndale, whether this proposal to rezone is necessary or desirable now, but might in 10 years, 15 years, be one of those, gosh, I wish we had more land around the interchange.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Bedlington? Then I'm going to let Mr. Bedlington have a seat. Lloyd?
Oh, I was just going to say, even like earlier tonight when we heard Kirby Kristoff, you know, everything in this world is temporary, including myself. And the idea of if he bought these, you know, pole barns or whatever they are out in the location, at some point in time in the future, who's to say that he couldn't peel off a piece, because the higher and best use for him financially would be to revert it back to the city, to some sort of gateway project that had more frontage and all that. So I think it's a good use, especially if it's contiguous with the Berry operation and some of the...
Careful, Lloyd. We haven't closed the public hearing yet. And we're not supposed to make up our mind until the public hearing...
Oh, these are all just hypothetical statements, you know. So, but the idea that
but
it's contiguous...
I think this is a good use. It's not a hypothetical question. Yes.
I'd like to hear from the Planning Commission Chair. Have you heard anything tonight and in this proceeding since the meeting, your meeting, that would change your minds about your decision?
The quick answer?
Yes.
No. Okay. I do have some points that I would like to bring, because I realize that this is a tough decision, and you've had a nice presentation. I want to point out that when Gateway Commercial came about, it was an attempt to do some long-range planning. The city for years has put out fires and responded reactively to zoning planning issues. This, in the last few years, is an attempt to take a blank canvas and paint what we hope the entrances to our community are going to look like. So it's a long-term plan. And the other thing I wanted to point out is on page 3 of the March 14th Planning Commission meetings, or minutes, the commission recommended denial because it is inconsistent with the comprehensive plan and is of benefit to a particular interest only and not a benefit to the entire community. If we go back to thinking about how we're hoping our entrances are going to look, that statement is particularly good. Then my third point, with all due respect to Mr. Bedlington and his business and the jobs he can bring, is a potato storage facility really what we hope to see and present to the visitors to our community? Their first look coming off the freeway, is that really what we want our community to welcome people with? So, again, my short answer is no. I haven't heard anything that really changed my mind. I sympathize and I understand with the applicant and Mr. Bedlington, but the whole community is what we need to think about, from my opinion anyway. Thank you.
Once again, I'll remind council that the consideration as to whether this will be a potato processing facility or not is not to be considered. This is a rezone, and we should be thinking about what all of the possibilities are as a result of the rezone, not just the food processing facility. I'll close the public hearing unless I've got others that would like to speak. I see Tom first. And then everyone will get an opportunity.
I'm Tom Black, 6088 Hatton Place, also on the Planning Commission and heard this this case when it came before us. I'm basically in agreement with Susan in terms of the fact that what we're doing here and what we're looking at is the comprehensive plan and a long-term vision. The whole idea of the Gateway Zone, as it states, is the Gateway Development District is intended as a zone in close proximity to freeway interchanges, which provides access to the downtown core of the city. The zone includes a range of uses necessary to serve the traveling public while providing a welcoming entrance to the city of Ferndale. In some cases, destination uses, as defined, may be allowed. That's in stark contrast to the description in the general business zone, which allows a whole variety of uses, including heavy trucking, and in the conditional uses, food processing facilities. In my experience with this property, I've seen this this meatpacking process plant go belly up. Then I've seen it be reestablished through a decision that was made to go ahead and process it under the existing variance. At that point, a lot of the, I think a lot of the decision was swayed by the fact that this was going to produce a lot of jobs. And that went belly up, and we never saw any jobs. I think that the idea of, you know, the long-term vision of that property being, in essence, a food processing facility with heavy trucking going in and out is not what the Gateway Development Zone describes. And I can't think of a more gateway development parcel than coming off the freeway, off a portal. I mean, you look right at it. And we just did not think that that there was an overall public good that was going to be established by this. I understand the applicant's desire to do this because general commercial will then allow any number of food processing plants or any other kinds of uses to come under conditional use permits. And I don't think that was the intent. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chris?
I got a question for Tom. I had a question for Tom.
Yes, yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, Tommy. He got away before Mel could recognize it. Question. With the, I know in other issues where we're talking about zoning and things, and even under the UGA boundary redrawing, we are very careful not to divide properties or say, well, gee, half of this person's property is going to fall into this zone and that zone. My question is in regards to this, looking at it, was any consideration given to the fact that you have to go from one zoning into another zone because of the shared entrance in there to where you come in through one property into this property, having it two different zones versus, you know, being the chunk of property? And in your history, and this is also for Yori, do we have other properties like that where you enter from one zone into another zone of a property?
Well, I understand the complexities of what you're talking about. I'm puzzled myself as to why the city would actually approve a land division there, given the fact that you've got infrastructure spread across both parcels and common access. Clearly, it was strictly a decision to make properties more saleable, as long as you didn't know about the infrastructure situation. But that's the only reason I can think of for splitting those parcels up.
And I can see splitting it, but I don't remember when we talked about drawing the lines for the gateway, if it was just an arbitrary, well, this looks like a good spot to draw the line, not realizing the interconnection between the properties. I don't remember some of the other planning commission members.
They went
what
how we determine that. Because that's, to me, that's the issue of whether or not to change the rezoning or not, is how those properties are interconnected.
I think it had more, from my standpoint, it had more to do with the visibility of the property. You know, what was visible when you come off that interchange?
I don't know if any of the planning commissioners remember why we drew the lines where we did or not.
I saw Mr. Crisp, and then generally we don't get two bites of the apple, but I will ask the council. You're allowed to speak now because this is on a different subject than what you spoke on before. I have two of the others that have already spoken that would like to speak, and I will defer to the council when that comes time. So I am allowing yours at this point.
Okay, so my experience with the area is 14 years, and I've watched, I've looked across the street every day of those 14 years, and I watched the slaughterhouses come and go, and then I've now, since then, for years now, whatever year she said it was, 2003, I think, I've watched the buildings deteriorate, and I'm watching the grass. I've watched the gas station that's right next to it. The grass is growing, and it's an eyesore. As I said before, that side of the freeway is a little different area than the other side. I understand the gateway industry, like they said, a canvas where there's no buildings and there's big pieces of property. But once you have a building on there, it's a different kind of set of rules. You either let them deteriorate to the point you tear them down or you maintain them. And then I know Dick's employees come in when they're working in the area, the farm, the tractors, the truckers, what have you. They pull into my coffee shop. So they do bring traffic, and I welcome more employees. But it does generate a little bit of business, even though it is a very small business. It does generate some traffic in there. And then as far as the buildings, I know we can't do this, but if you was to go to his farm and to his facilities, they're very nice and they're picturesque. So it's very well maintained, the buildings are. And so if a hotel or something comes in the future, and if the area is exploding because of an overpass, they'll pay the price and he'll move out for the profits if they really want it. So I don't see, in my opinion, in the long term, I've waited 14 years for the overpass, and I can see it coming in 14 more years. But I remember when I bought that, I had big dreams about what was going to happen. So I'm not saying to bank on that happening, but I can see it coming someday. But when it does, then the developments, if the money's there and the land's there, it'll come. But they'll pay the price for the land if it's going to make them that kind of money, those kind of companies. So anyway.
Thank you.
According to our rules, the mayor pro tem may grant an additional 2 minutes to the speakers that have already spoken, so I'm going to invite Bruce to come to this podium first, and followed by Peggy for 2 minutes each.
Thank you.
Your name again?
Bruce Boyle. Need my address again? Okay, thanks. I also have property listed on the other side of the freeway. It's part of the vacant land. I was involved in the sale of the Simplot property on the west side of the freeway. And the property that used to be part of the Ferry Brothers, it's on the west side of the freeway. So I know this area pretty well. In fact, I was involved with the city in negotiating the exchange of land that produced the road up the west side of the freeway, the access road. And the property owner I have, who has property over there that I have listed. Gateway development is just fine. It's vacant land. It's first off the freeway. Again, in commercial real estate, that's a valuable thing, the most valuable, really. That's the one that all the gas stations, all the fast food want to be at. And that's great. The subject property is not a first off. You have to go quite a ways. The character of Ferndale is different on the east side and the west side of the freeway. And all you have to do is drive along there and you can see one is largely a blank slate waiting to be written on, surprisingly on the west side. On the east side, it's got a history of development that even predates zoning itself. So I think that you need to consider that in terms of this. Was the gateway to zoning a mistake? I don't think so. I really don't. I'm fine with it for my client on the other side. I think that it is a mistake for properties that have substantial development already and that have a lot of depth. Thank you.
And Peggy, I'm going to invite you back for 2 minutes.
Is what I'm asking tonight is I'm asking you to redraw the line by 150 feet. The property was one. It's very interconnected. The driveway to get into my property, as was said earlier, is on a piece of general business property. No hotel, no restaurant is going to come into my property, maybe in 20 years. And the other thing is that there's the big stormwater pond on our property. And with the stormwater pond there's not enough space to put a hotel. There's not enough space to put a good-sized restaurant and parking, let alone a hotel there. The reason, I was not consulted. Neova was. Neova was consulted because at the time the Gateway commercial came in, they were negotiating a continuing variance to put their, I forget what it is, their health food products.
Pancreatic,
whatever it was in. Okay? So they were in the middle of it. I wasn't anywhere to be found because I didn't get, even though my tax bills come to my house, nobody notified me, and it just isn't fair. I'm sorry I didn't come to the planning commission meeting, and Mr. Black, you and I know we've had some history together, okay? And I think that under the circumstances, for Bruce to find someone to come in to make the property look better, to put a business in that property, a business that's going to use businesses around, I think is very, very positive. So I'm asking you to move the line 150 feet. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak at the public hearing? Mr. Bedlington, 2 minutes.
I just want to address one issue. I'm on the Guide Meridian of Linden, and I know I compliment the city of Linden. And I know that I'm the very first place that anybody that comes down the guide sees. Our company is neat and clean. You can go down to Newkirk Road and see one of our facilities there. We do complement the areas, and we will bring in business. We use all the businesses here. We never used to use them 15, 20 years ago. We do business in Ferndale. We're here to stay. And my kids are third generation. I have fourth generation farmers coming up. So to say I'm not here, I'm here. So I know the city of Linden won't like the fact that if I'm leaving the city of Linden, because I've been there all my life. But, companies grow. That access to that property is only 2.67 acres. I can't imagine it being used for, what you're arguing about is 2.67 acres. I don't know how many businesses or how many motels or restaurants or whatever you can put on 2.67 acres. It's tight for us, but we've looked at the facilities, and it will work for us. So I hope you consider that.
Is there anyone else that would like to comment at the public hearing? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and turn it over to the council for action. Councilmember Mutzler.
Mayor Pro Tem Hansen, I've been on the council for 2.5 years, and I've attended almost every Planning Commission meeting, and I honestly and sincerely appreciate all that they do. And I can only think of one time, to my best recollection, where we have, as a council, voted different than the unanimous opinion of the Planning Commission, but I like to make a motion to do that tonight, with all due respect and appreciation what they do, and weighing their arguments as well. And so I make a motion that we adopt Agenda Bill 12-7-003 to approve the rezone. And if there is a second, I'd like to make a supporting statement.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded, and Mr. Musler does get the first opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Commissioner Cole used the phrase blank canvas, and I knew what she meant by that, but I just want to remind council this is not an empty piece of land. If it were, I'd sure treat it a lot differently. There are existing buildings on it that are now worthless if we don't approve this rezone, I believe. I don't think you can change those buildings into any of the gateway development. This is not a piece out of a larger piece of property, a larger zoned area. This is the very northern 150 feet of the gateway, and I wish we could keep it gateway, but I don't think it's practical in this particular case to do that. It's also part of a larger piece of property with shared roads and utilities and things like that. It's kind of unique in that way. I noticed that originally staff recommended this rezone, and perhaps they've heard something differently in the last couple of months to change their view. I don't know, but they seem to support that. I'm concerned about the notification process as a side issue. I'm not sure what we can do about that. I do believe staff did everything they were legally required to do, and council as well, but maybe we need to look at that issue separately someday. We see the potential of agricultural jobs. There's no guarantee of that, I might remind council, but there's a potential of agricultural jobs as opposed to maybe someday hotel jobs or fast food jobs or gas station jobs. That would seem to be desirable to me. Again, there is the fact that this is the northern edge of this gateway zone. And then finally, I'm concerned about it. If we don't rezone it, it's just sitting there for a long time. I took the time to drive out and look at that. And I would think that being used for something is better than just sitting there for a long time. And I think lots of other properties would be purchased for gateway development before this would be if it was left in the gateway development. And for those reasons, with all due respect to the Planning Commission, I will be voting to support the rezone.
Councilmember Goodrich.
When I first thought about this, my first reaction was to vote against the rezone and support the Planning Commission's recommendations and things, just because of my past experience with the Planning Commission and being on it and also working on the gateway zone. But after hearing about how the properties are interconnected, both with utilities, the past history of the parcel, the entrance off of one zone into the other, to me, I just can't, you know, based off of what we've done in the past, where we've been very careful not to split properties and stuff when we've done zonings or with the UGA boundary lines and things, I think we just somehow oopsed on that parcel of property and need to kind of put it all back together. And so I'm voting in favor of changing the zoning for those reasons.
Member Ingram.
Well, Brent stole a little of my thunder, I guess, because I was going to make the point that, and I will make the point, that when we were doing our urban growth boundary redraw, we were absolutely adamant about the fact that we will not split a piece of property. We will not have half of them, and we had several people that come before this council who were concerned that we were going to do just that, that you're going to take my small farm and you're going to split it down the middle, and half of it's going to be in the UGA, and half of it's going to be outside the UGA. And this council was absolutely adamant about the fact that we will not ever let that happen. But it happened here. Now, I don't know exactly why, but it did. And I agree that we didn't split the property. The property owner split the property. But we allowed it to be zoned in two different zonings. And I think we could have solved that when we did the gateway, because I just, you know, I can't see any sense. And it's not, if you come off northbound on I-5, yes, that's the first piece of property you see. But I'm sorry, in my eye and in my mind, that's not the entrance to Ferndale. The entrance to Ferndale is when you go through the roundabout on the other side of the freeway. Now you're in the entrance to Ferndale. And that's where I want to see a lot of sweet stuff going in. When you come off I-5 northbound, you see the first spot of the entire commercial zone of Portal Way. That's what you're looking at. And I've been to Mr. Bedlington's property in Linden, and if he puts up half a nice facade on Ferndale as he did in Linden, he'd be a good addition to have.
I'll be supporting the motion as well. For the one reason, I think we're correcting a mistake that was made. It's a contiguous property, and it's just so small that you can't use it for gateway development. I'm not saying that we're not going to keep gateway development and that that wasn't a good thing to do, but this particular parcel just cannot be used for what it is zoned for. I don't care who owns it. I don't care who's going to come or go. What it is right now, it is so small that you can't use it for what it is zoned for. So I don't care who comes into it. It can't be used for what it's zoned for now. And if we do rezone it, then we have some hope that somebody will be able to use the property. So I'll be supporting the motion.
Some of the rules.
Yori, what's the old gas station?
That was Marshall's, wasn't it?
Gateway.
That's Gateway.
That is.
So this is kind of a misnomer that that's one little island there. And in fact, there's all the real estate of the old gas station and this.
Okay. That is correct.
I'm going to have to look like I'll be the sole one not supporting this, because I believe the Planning Commission, and that we haven't given that enough time to work. And we're chasing developments, which is exactly what we said we wouldn't do, but it looks like most of the council decided they are going to do.
No, not chasing.
Council member.
It came to my mind, Yvonne Goldsmith, that back 20 years ago almost, like 1994, 95, when we were all meeting over in the small little council chambers, that the city of Ferndale's relationship with this company and this parcel, we signed on to support a loan. Is that to? Yeah. So, I mean, we go way back to seeing the potential to create jobs, to support agriculture, and to whatever it may do. And again, some time in the future, if it becomes so hot and wonderful that the property wants to be rezoned, we can do that. Nothing's in stone forever, so I support it.
Well, that leaves only the chairman left to speak, and I'm going to take that opportunity. What's convinced me is the utility, including the stormwater pond, connectivity to the other parcels. Because of that, this parcel has been rendered useless by the rezone. The rezone to Gateway has rendered this piece of property useless. It's not just because of the buildings. It's because of the connectivity of the utilities. You have a stormwater pond that's serving a general commercial facility. They will never be required to create their own stormwater pond. It will remain on the Gateway property, and as I said, it renders the property useless. Yes, down the road, some hotel chain may come in and look at that along with the gas station property and just buy up the whole thing, including the old Ferry Brothers processing plant, put a big fancy hotel in there on all of the properties. But that's way down the road. I doubt that there's anyone in this room right now that's going to see that. And, well,
you might.
Yori might. Sam might. I'm sitting here that are the elected officials
the
up
old
here. The old guys, yeah. So, is there anyone else that would like to speak? Seeing none, I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
The chair is voting aye on the motion. It is 6-1. Thank you.
Welcome to Ferndale.
We are now down to Item E on the agenda, the police station fencing and the gate bid award.
Yes, we're going to be asked that you, we're actually not going to be bringing forward that bid to you, for the main reason being is that we did not receive any bids today that were actually sealed and qualified. We had gone, we used the small works roster to solicit bids, but we did not do a pure small works roster solicitation. We asked for sealed bids. We received one bid that was not sealed, and so that did not comply with the way we wanted to bid it. So what we're going to be doing is going back and just soliciting bids from firms that are on the small works roster in a more traditional way. The one firm that did bid actually is on the small works roster, so I'm assuming they will be interested. So we'll be using the small works roster and awarding the bid. I believe it's we need to get three quotes given the assumed dollar amount of the bid. So it will delay us slightly, but it shouldn't really throw our schedule off too greatly.
I could speak on
Zimmerman. Yes,
I could speak on behalf of my lovely wife, whose bedroom is 30 feet from the opening and closing of the gate, and she just wanted to know if there would be any sounds.
The gate that we're considering over on that side is actually a gate that swings. It's a dual open this way, as opposed to the gate over on Lego, which is a rolling gate.
Right.
So I believe that the swing gate is much quieter than a metal track.
I'm sure she'll feel much more assured at that moment.
Although when it opens, it plays Led Zeppelin.
Stairway to Heaven.
Stairway to Heaven, exactly.
Just make it play John
No Coltrane.
Muchler, you're going to really. It's going to be a long time before you live that one down here.
Right away near your house.
Next two items are connected, the Connection Impact Fee Deferral Program and the Connection Impact Fee Discount Program.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Oh, you're doing. Okay.
I'll be doing the discount.
Mm-hmm. He's going to do math.
Yes. On the deferral program, as we presented to committee last week, the deferral program, which was for residential, providing the optional opportunity for applicants to pay half of the remaining fees at building permit issuance and the other half of those connection and impact fees, not including school, at the request for final occupancy, has been relatively popular, but not overwhelming so. It did not appear at that time that there was a spike in development as a result of it. You may have seen an email that came across to you today reflecting Office of Financial Management projections that those population estimates showed that the city of Ferndale, possibly for the first time ever, was the fastest growing city, both in terms of percentage of overall growth, 21.5% of total Whatcom County growth, and actual number, 300, more than the city of Bellingham or the city of Linden experienced. So this is the fastest growing jurisdiction in Whatcom County, which is continuing a trend that we've experienced. Whether or not that is the result of the market or a city policy or just the availability of houses, we cannot determine. But what we are asking for you tonight is direction with regard to an ordinance to either to extend the deferral program. If you take no action, the deferral program will die within the next couple of days, more than likely. If you do take an action, you can direct staff as far as what timeline you would like to see. Staff had recommended possibly extending it only to August 30th. Council committee had suggested possibly extending it until the end of the calendar year. You could extend it beyond that if you wished, or by taking no action, it would die before the next council meeting.
Council member,
yes, I would like to move to approve Agenda Bill 1207-005, extending the deferral program to December the 31st, 2012.
I second.
And moved and seconded to extend the deferral program to December 31st, 2012. discussion? Councilmember Olson, Councilor.
Whose idea was the 31st?
It was just a
calendar year.
If it's of no benefit, why do we want to extend
it
some more?
Sunday. Yours.
That's not what I read. Is this something?
One of the concepts of extending it for a certain period longer is to ensure that those folks who are ready to apply, have just not gotten to it, would have the opportunity to come in. Whether or not that's 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, that's up to council. But it would give the opportunity for the city to say, yes, this is dying, and here's when it's dying. Mm-hmm. Come in or forever hold your peace.
Councilmember Mutchler?
Yeah, I was the one that made the motion in committee to move it to from August to December 31st. I just felt like it was, by the time we passed this thing last June, builders finally hear about it, start thinking about building. Even though it doesn't appear to have a huge amount of impact on the builders, I still wanted to give them some chance to take advantage of it. I asked Yuri what kind of staff time this thing. It did add work to staff to do this, to manage this thing a little bit, 15 minutes maybe per applicant to do this. But I wanted to, I know this is a place to make a friendly amendment or just to ask staff. I'd like to see feedback from the staff maybe around October or November to see if there's been any change in how this has been responded to. Just to see if there's any reason to continue with it. So I'd like to.
Friendly amendment's not actually possible, but I think it can be just advice.
I think just an advice. Can I ask staff to do that? Yeah, just get back to us in October. I'd be curious to see if, because we really it hasn't been on very long, and to see if there is a little uptick in that program.
And we will, since we don't have an ordinance for you to extend it, we're already anticipating bringing back with a date certain ordinance on the 16th.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Well, that's kind of my question to staff is I can see the benefit of extending it some period of time because sometimes by the time the word gets out to people, I can see the benefit of extending it to the year just to make sure that the folks have a chance to get their ducks in order or go and double check their figures and things. My question is, is this really going to be the end type of thing, or are we just kind of delaying the decision, and then we're going to look at it again in December, or like Councilman Mutcher kind of brought up, maybe in October we'll look at this again. I personally say let's either extend it another year or let's end it, but not be in a quasi state of, well, we're not sure if we're going to extend it or not or whatever. Let's kind of make a decision.
The proposal is to extend it to December 31st.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But then Councilman Mutcher brought up the idea of, well, let's look at it again in October. Well, if that's the case, and that's kind of the feeling of the council is to look at it again in October, then
December 31st is going.
Yeah, I'm fine with a set date. I just didn't want to get into this. Do something now and then 3 months later change it. Poor builders need to know what we're doing.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Well, listening into Jory's comments in committee, I saw two benefits. One, it was a cash flow management tool for the people that wanted to build. That's what it wasn't. We weren't no giveaways. And also, it's a closing tool for you. Like you said, only 17 more days. You better get the thing in, and it's just a little bit of a nudge to help them. Again, time is money, and that money, the more you borrow it, the longer time is. So if you put some construction projects together, those little bits help.
Thank you.
I just want to remind council, it was actually the Building Industry Association that brought this proposal to council. They don't oftentimes show up. I think the context was we were considering removing fees or half price fees, and I don't know if it's going to work or not, but I just think out of deference that their idea to bring it in, they let it run a little longer. And just to remember, it did come from the building industry people. It's their opportunity to see if they're going to make it work or not.
Fiscal year. Paul?
Well, I would just, one thing that I think is very important here, to extend this program, we need to make sure we get it in the paper. Because builders don't know if they don't read it. And we can put it on our website, and we can put it in other places, but builder picks up that newspaper and says, oh, this is only going to be until the end of the year. That could make a difference in somebody's decision whether to pull a couple of permits or not.
You could buy an ad.
You could buy an ad.
I have a hand in the audience. Tim, would you like to speak to this?
Tim Cornwell, 6199 Hamilton Avenue, Ferndale. I'm a real estate investor and did a project up in Blaine last summer, a spec house, and right now I'm building four duplexes in Bellingham. And I didn't know that this program existed in Ferndale. And John mentioned to me, John left me a voicemail a couple days ago just letting me know this was going to be on the agenda. I might want to come to the meeting because he knows I do this stuff. So I think I'm very encouraged to hear this. This is exciting, and I want to learn more about the program. As I look at doing my own projects here in town, there was a piece of property I was just looking at purchasing and met with Yori and looked at, you know, what could I do on this piece of property. So I'd like to build here and to know that, you know, I'm looking at where's my highest and best use of my investment dollars and where do I want to build? Do I want to build in Bellingham? Do I want to build in the county, Blaine, Ferndale, wherever? What's hindered me in Ferndale has just been impact fees, connection and impact fees. But to see that there's this type of an incentive makes me want to take a closer look at doing something in Ferndale. The other thing is I am a member of the Bellingham Real Estate Investors Network, and as I learn about this program, I will pass it on to them. And then also the other thing is, as of today, I started a new career. I'm a broker at Windermere, so I will pass this on to Windermere. The other thing to mention is, if you want to get the word out, the lending community. Lenders, it's a competitive market. So if they know that this is available to someone that's looking for a loan, as they're looking to build in Ferndale, the lending community, this will catch fire if you get the word out to them. So thanks for being progressive in your thinking.
Question for Mr. Cormack. Tim, so I'm tempted to make a motion to extend this past December 31st. But I'd also like to see this thing end, too, because it hasn't really done a lot. Is that enough time for not just the news to get out, but you think it'll affect some action?
As an investor, you know, typically things don't happen very quickly. You're analyzing opportunities. And opportunities don't develop very quickly most of the time. You're doing your history, you're doing your research, and then you're negotiating to purchase a piece of property. You're looking at zoning. You're looking at all these factors. So it's usually, it can happen as fast as 90 days. Sometimes it's a year before you pull the trigger and start moving on a project. And then once you get moving on it, you know, then it's however long it takes to do the pre-construction and actually do the construction, finish the job. So it's a 1 to 2 year process is what I would say. That's my reality. So, but I mean, the fact that you guys extend a date and extend it again, I don't have any problem with that. But it's just great that there's a program like this that exists I didn't know anything about that affects me directly. So I'm excited. Nice work.
Number what?
Well, Yori, what do you want us to do now? Someone's very excited.
I was going to say that.
I don't know, because, I mean, I kind of assumed that everyone knew that they'd had a year to think about it. Now we find out someone who actually does this for a living didn't know. So, I mean, where do we go? Yeah. I mean, the motion's been made. We have to vote on the motion.
Right.
We can either just vote down the motion or whatever. But, I mean, what is your opinion? Because this is just
I will speak through Greg.
I can barely see your lips.
Right now, the motion is directing staff to bring back an ordinance for our next meeting that would extend it to December. What we could do, whether you're comfortable with December or upon reflection you feel a different date, in 2 weeks you'll have it in front of you. And if you want to change the date at that time, I would argue that would be probably the most appropriate time to change the date. The word can get out. You can actually have some informed citizens come and tell you about this. I wouldn't be too concerned about getting it exactly right tonight. We're going to bring it back next meeting. We can certainly have a thorough discussion at that point as to what you feel is appropriate.
So what we vote on tonight is not changing the date?
It's directing staff to bring at our next meeting a ordinance that would, right now, extend it to December. But at our next meeting, that December date could be whatever.
We could amend that.
You could amend that.
John, you still want to speak?
In light of what the administrator said, I'm fine. I will support the motion.
Okay. I have a gentleman in the audience, and I have a bond. So, yeah.
And a lady.
You were first. Okay.
Gentleman and a lady.
A gentleman and a lady, yes. Thank you.
Come on your side.
I'm Scott Hillis. 5290 Graveline Road. I'm a developing contractor, and I've met with all of you before, and I've met with Planning Commission, and I own the Cherry Street project down there, and this is the first, other than a couple of hours ago, that I've heard about this program. And I mean, I'm a little blown away because I didn't know about it, and I think it's a great idea and a great policy, especially when it comes to lending. They want to hold on to every dime they have, especially in multifamily uses, to when it gets seasoned. You know, they want to get that thing full. They want to see that you're going to make some money on it before they release as little as possible. Because I know, and we've talked about the impact fees issue, which I know is not one we're talking about now, but it's tough with banks and lending institutions. And if you can come up with just one little angle that they're going to release a little bit less money per, you know, one day, 2 days, it doesn't matter. If you can tell them, you know, because, I mean, it's kind of the best of both worlds here. The city still gets their fees, but the bank doesn't have to release it quite until they get a little bit more, you know, their feet get a little bit more solid because, okay, it's filling up. Okay, this thing's actually going to work. I wish I could have came more prepared, but I got a phone call. Bam, hey, Scott, this is going down. And, I dropped everything to just come here just to like to see all you guys again. But, that's what I want to say, at least the consideration there and to give people time because I'm definitely, it changed my mindset again.
don't run away.
And I are going all kinds of directions to see my project through. So, okay.
Don't run away. Thanks. Don't run away.
Oh.
Question? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You said it.
You said it.
You didn't know about this program. Obviously, we didn't do a very good job of putting this program out where you could see it. So what publications, what newsletters, what websites, where do you look to find information about possible programs like this that we can better source you with the information that you need? Because here's two prominent builders in the area, and we obviously didn't go to this to where you needed to see that.
Well, Tim actually called me.
Which Brain has a Facebook page that anybody can post on. It's Brain, Bellingham Real Estate Investors Network. And that's people that go to those meetings are lenders, developers, hard money people. Anyway, the city could go onto that page and post, hey, here's a great new program we have available. I bet the Building Industry Association has a Facebook page.
Why don't you like our Facebook page? And then
you guys need to like each other. You'll see the postings from Ferndale.
You know,
where we posted about the program.
Yeah. I see it was on Facebook.
I consider when this whole thing, I was listening to the rezone thing, and I was putting myself in, it was Peggy's spot. Was she the landowner?
Yeah.
And saying, she didn't know about it. And I thought about, well, the public library I don't frequent. There's no reason if you have the internet, really. And the Herald, or it was the Bellingham Herald, whichever the code official, indoctrinated was. But it's all social media these days. That's how I learn about most anything. But how to get the right social media to link somewhere else is going to take someone from Apple or something, not me. But I mean, but that is the way that everyone hears about it. You can always send me a text. I'm good with that.
We'll tweet.
Go ahead, Sam.
I did want to add. I think those are great ideas, and I think take advantage of that in the future. It's something we don't often do where we reach out directly on other people's social media and whatnot. Although we could, we have our page because it allows us to better communicate with people. One time, it's efficiency, it's lean. We did offer a press release up about this program last year. I believe the Herald and the Ferndale Record both wrote about the program. I can't speak to the record circulation, but I did work at the Herald. They have more than 50,000 people daily reading the paper. The Building Industry Association of Milwaukee County was, I believe, directly involved in talking about this while it was being authored. They had someone constantly speaking to the city. So we did try to get it out there. That basically what I'm trying to say is we're never going to reach everybody. It's impossible, although we can always do better, and I'm happy to continue to do better, but it would be impossible for us to reach everyone.
Quick question. On the planning webpage, there's specific links. Is there something there that says incentives? Some little icon that says incentives?
We're currently working on building a better building division web section, which will list basically all the fees, the discount programs, et cetera.
Because so right now
we're trying to make a very large, robust one. It's because we're understaffed, both in my office and community development, it's taking us some time to get that put together.
Maybe that's something staff could think about. If you could tell us how much it would cost to have somebody build a website, perhaps, you know.
I need $20,000.
Okay. Well, if we fire this.
I've advocated for that for years.
Yvonne, I still have you.
Thanks, Scott.
I'm not joking.
I know.
When this, Yvonne Goldsmith, when this came before the Planning Commission, we were extremely excited about it, okay? You guys have one opportunity that you could get out to a lot of people very quickly, and that's for somebody from the city or from the council to get on to KGMI in the afternoon and do a thing on this. Okay? And because they're looking for programs right now, all right, besides political. And this is just, and it could all go back to us being the fastest growing city, a plus. And this is how we want to bring business into Ferndale and then have somebody get on the radio with the talking head in the afternoon. Or
whatever. Dylan
Vancouver. Who?
Dylan.
Dylan, yes. But I listen to it all the time. I just don't remember names. But anyway, this is one way that wouldn't cost the city any money. You just make a call to KGMI and say, this is what we have. We're the fastest growing city, and we have this program. We're extending it. Whoa. Invite us on to talk about it. It's that simple.
That's a great idea.
Thank you.
That's your job.
Okay. I believe we still have a motion on the
floor. We still have a motion on the
floor. Motion is to extend it December 31st. And it's a motion to send it to the staff to draft the ordinance. Okay?
Yes, it's getting late.
Yes, Grant.
In light of the discussion, would it be possible, this is a question for you two over there, to do the ordinance with the date blank? So then, then we can just fill in the blank in 2 weeks versus doing, or does it make any difference?
Or you can cross it out and put a new date.
Does it make? Okay. If it doesn't make any difference. Then, okay.
It doesn't. Yeah. No. Either way, you're going to move to amend that ordinance with the date.
Yeah.
And we've got
Lloyd.
17 minutes.
One of the ideas of a closing tool is that you need to have a specific day that you require action to. So in some ways, if you just leave it blank and we're out there, you're not saying it is December 31st. Do you have your stuff in? And it's only 14 more days till Christmas. That's right. It's a closing tool.
16 more minutes to the end of the council meeting. Right.
Any,
call the question.
Any other discussion or comment?
No.
All those in favor of the motion, you've heard it, say aye.
All right.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye, unanimous. And that does bring us down to the discount program.
Right, the discount program. In your packet is a couple of spreadsheets, one for the water, one for the sewer fund, that our finance director put together. And I think everyone understands that this is the actual discount program, as opposed to or contrasting to the deferral program, where you simply delay what you get paid, but we get it all. In this case, we actually discount what they pay. So there's money that's kind of swept off the table in that regard. Hopefully you've been able to look at these two charts. They're very similar in their effect insofar as one of the things that we thought might happen with both the deferral and especially the discount is that it would spur additional development. That really didn't occur insofar as you can see that 2010, 2011, and 2012 annualized would be about 2%. So we're seeing about 2% growth in our water and a comparable amount over on the sewer side. So the amount of new connections didn't drastically increase, even though it's hard to tie one effect to the other. We did see that anywhere from a low of this year, 26% of the applicants took advantage of the discount. Back last year, it was a little over 70%, and in 2010, it was 50%. So it's a little, it varies, which is basically speaks to the mix of housing types that we have. There's a discount for multifamily. There's a discount for PUDs. We've had a fair number of multifamily housing. I don't believe we've had many PUDs. The issue is really whether we want to continue this discount program. Staff has looked at this, and what we would like to bring back is a refined discount program. We feel that the science for multifamily is out there. Multifamilies units use less water on an individual unit basis than most single-family homes. The same cannot be said for a PUD. PUDs are on smaller lots, but normally, at least on a residential PUD, you have home ownership on small lots, which doesn't necessarily mean that the home ownership is any different than a single-family home on a larger lot. So what we would like to recommend would be coming back with a refinement to the discount program where we would specify which, or we would narrow, if you will, the residential uses that would actually qualify for the discount.
Do that.
And we would again bring this to the next.
And I have a question. I know that Mark is working on a rate study, taking a look also at the infrastructure needs, the comprehensive plan, if you will, on water and sewer, and the 5-year plan. That ought to be tied together with this.
It is, and okay. if you look on here in 2010 for water. It says the residential discount rate was 17%, and in 2010 for sewer was 21%. That gave Mark some pause because he was seeing upwards to 20% of the revenues not ever coming in, and that was rather alarming when you have that large. You can see since then it's moderated. For water, it's gone down to 8% and 9%, and for sewer, 2% and 8%. So he's seeing a halving, if you will, down to the 8 to 10% range. That does play into the water sewer rates, and the model that he's now putting together for our rate discussion embedded into it is a 10% discount for basically multifamily residential. So he's building that into the model, and we'll be able to discuss what that effect has, which is much less than it was when the discount was in the 20% range.
Kathy's up first.
Are you going to build into it an end date for this, or will it be open-ended like the other
program? Well, this was an outgrowth of that puddle concept where the closer you are to the water sewer plant, you get discounts. And I think it's 2014 when that puddle reaches to a point where at a certain distance from the plant, there's now a surcharge. We've delayed that surcharge. So right now you either pay the full fees, or depending on your geography, you get a discount the closer you get to the water sewer plant. Okay. Coming up at some point, the outer reaches of the city are actually going to get a 10% or so surcharge on top of that. The idea is that it's trying to focus development into the center of the city, closer to where the infrastructure is, rather than just automatically and people getting the cheaper, I think you always mentioned that you drive till you qualify. The land further away from the city center normally is less developed and cheaper. So that program, that discount and the eventual surcharge is built into what Mark's doing.
Are we going to see all this at the next committee meetings?
I don't know the exact timing, but he and I have been working on it. So I think he's, from our conversations, I think he's getting very close to being able to.
I mean, he doesn't have to. I'm just curious if we were. Yeah. He could take more time.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's getting close.
It just seems counterproductive to be giving discounts over jacking up rates and everything else. I just don't understand that for the life of me.
Well, the theory was, I think it was in, for context, it was back when the economy was really sinking down, and so we were trying to say, okay, what could we do to encourage folks, if they're going to build, to build here in Ferndale.
And it didn't work. So why do we keep it?
That is a qualitative decision that you all can make. I mean, we had been the fastest growing. Are we the fastest growing because of the deferral program that no one knows about, or the discount program that that other people don't? I don't know. But it's all subjective.
They don't know what they're being.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. So currently we do provide a discount for PUDs.
Yes.
And multifamily.
Yes.
And the amount of gain, is it 25%?
I think it varies.
Give me a range.
50%.
Pardon?
50%.
50%, okay. And so you're going to come back, you're considering just 10% for multifamily.
No. That's the 2014 surcharge. In the in the far reaches of the city.
So multifamily, you're proposing eliminating PUDs because there are houses that use the same impact. But
right.
The reason I'm asking the question about multifamily is the Planning Commission is looking at parking requirements for multifamily, considering maybe a one-bedroom shouldn't have as many parking spots as a two-bedroom versus a studio. Might that be some formula? The number of bedrooms usually dictates how many bodies there are in a place. So studio, one-bedroom, two-bedroom might be a way to change that,
I think, to encourage. I think, staff, we're going to be talking about the actual architecture of the discount program and perhaps nuancing it further beyond just the fact of eliminating PUDs and including multifamily.
Councilmember Zimmer.
I can pass.
All right, thank you. We don't need to take any action,
no? No, we'll
okay,
do
let's
the
move on. Since we only have 8 minutes left. Katie, you're up.
Been here a long time.
Okay, so first thing, let's go with
Church. We've got about three of the five of the 8 minutes, so go.
Church Road, not much has changed. I think we have one more property owner signing this week. Main Street, photos have been loaded on Facebook, so the whole world will see what's going on Main Street. So anyway, after a kind of a slow start, dirt is flying and they're making progress. Storm's being installed. And then I want to talk about the PD?
Quickly for police station, the carpet is like 99% down. They're putting down the base trim, so it's really getting trimmed out. The contractor is slowly getting in there and knocking off his punch list items. As you know, the parking lot is done. We're going to be doing the fencing here off the Small Works roster, and next meeting we should be able to bring back the landscaping bids for you as well. So it's progressing. It's always a little maddening at the end. Any of you who've built homes or done these kind of things, it's always maddening at the end because you just want to get things done. And even though it seems to be kind of taking a slow pace, we're still on track right now for our September grand opening. Furniture arrives here, and it's slowly arriving now. We've got a few pieces of furniture in there, and it's going to be rolling in here over the next few weeks. And we're getting there.
When do we get the keys?
You don't. Well, we have the keys now.
That guy back there in the corner has keys.
And I'd like to mention, because I don't think the council's been necessarily 100% aware of this, Michael Cole is going through some extreme
health issues.
Very possibly could be on a heart transplant list shortly. And we'll get an evaluation by a surgeon in Spokane on the 9th, I believe it is, as to whether they can save his heart.
Exactly.
It's that tough. So our thoughts and prayers need to be for Michael. Yes.
And I just want to say briefly that when I see Mr. Cole, I got woods and places like that, 100% professional, patient, courteous with all my questions, and he has served at least as council member very, very well in this capacity.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Katie.
Sorry you had to wait so long to do less than three minutes.
Should we put updates to projects as like number one on the agenda?
The only comment that the mayor pro tem has to say is, thank God the other guy will be back.
You did good. You did great.
Council report. Firecracker Rod Run, Saturday. ConocoPhillips, come buy hamburgers and hot dogs.
Right on. I saw a personal note. For those of you that know, my wife had knee replacement surgery less than a month ago, and she's already back to work. So she had a full knee done, and she just worked her little whatever off to get there and get so she could get back to work in less than a month, which everybody is just amazed for a knee, full knee replacement to be that well.
Okay. Yes. Lloyd?
Just a quick comment. Never underestimate the sports tourism. I just got back from Spokane, the Hoop Fest. I'd heard about it. It's the 23rd year. There were 7,000 teams of all shapes, sizes. Incredible. People just go, wow, it brings so much money into the city.
Was it raining?
Yeah, off and on it did.
Carl Levine wants to get one of those started. Okay. Junior, Carl Levine Jr. Would, yeah. He's talked to me about it. So
yeah.
Somebody needs to increase that because it would bring a ton of people.
A ton of people.
All right.
Motion to adjourn.
No.
Second.
No. First of all, it's not 9 o'clock. Second of all, we have department reports yet to go. Janice.
No pressure.
Nothing. Sam.
Nothing.
Yori, anything further?
No.
Administrator.
Nothing. Our illustrious.
Then don't.
Nothing.
If there's nothing, we don't need to have anything. Okay, thank you. Police chief.
Good man.
Asking to see you.
Spain report. Spain report.
Motion to adjourn.
For adjournment. Thank
don't
you.
Don't move. Don't get off adjourn.
All in favor,
aye.
Don't forget your buns. Don't forget your...